Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this day that you have brought us here so that we would worship, that we would sing, that we would pray, that we would be filled with your Spirit. So God, we ask that at this time, that through your grace, that we might be able to cast aside our burdens, cast aside our worries, the things that trouble and distract us, so that we might be attentive to your Spirit. Lord, as we continue our journey in this season of Lent, help us to remember the times that we were the accused, so that we would be reminded of that when we are the accuser. Lord, we ask that this morning it would be a time of powerful self-reflection so that we may experience transformation. And Lord, at this time, we also lift up prayers for our family members, for our parents, our siblings, children and grandchildren. Lord, we ask that you would be with them, not only through their good times, but their times of difficulty. Lord, we pray for our church and our friends, that your grace and your mercy would abound. And Lord, we pray not only for this nation, but for all nations, that their leaders and that all people would be governed by your grace and your peace, and so that we would work towards greater harmony. Lord, we ask that you would use us to be your hands and feet so that we would be your agents, the manifestations of your love and grace, from the smallest spheres in our lives to the greatest reach that we can have. Lord, help us to be your disciples. We take a moment of silence, and Lord, we ask that your Spirit would speak to us. God, as you continue to speak to us, we ask that you would continually open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to you. We lift up all of these prayers today as we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the 8th chapter of John. And this is the same reading that appeared in Pastor Sherry's daily devotional, email devotional. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray. Lord, Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I don't know. I think kids are very clever. And they can take your name and they can do things with it. Does anyone have a name like that? After the 8 o'clock service, I heard from people who said, this is my name, this is my maiden name, this is what they did with it. I was Sherry Parker, Porker. That's pretty easy to get there. And then also, as a young child, one of the popular songs was by the Four Seasons, Sherry, Sherry Baby. I do not have fond memories when I hear that song. It is true that I was picked on the bus, and so my parents made arrangements that I would come up and sit. Back in the old day, before seatbelts and all of that, there was like a heater, a box heater at the front of the bus. I would sit on that heater beside the bus driver on my way to school, just so I would have some peace, but you know, before I got there. Kids can be tough, and I think that all of us, even those who you might say, oh no, they would never be picked on, we all have some kind of memory of being picked on, of being called names. And my parents did tell me this little poem about sticks and stones, and from an early age, I just knew that was wrong, that names do hurt you, and they can profoundly hurt you. They can change the course of your life. They shape your character. And so to be called names, and I would even to be put into a particular category and be said that's who you are can shape your life. I worked in a high school situation with alternative education kids, and these were kids that were labeled apathetic, violent, losers, not destined to graduate from high school. And they knew those labels, and they had known them for a long time. And so not only did I have to work with their skills and abilities, but with that understanding that they bore of themselves as they tried to get through school. I think that this scripture text today has something to say to us about our tendency to throw stones, to call names, to put people in categories, to hurt people. But it also speaks to us if we are people who have felt that in our lives. So let me tell you a little bit about the context. This is not a text about deciding Mosaic law and whether a woman should be stoned or not. So let me just first start there. And I could go into the Mosaic law and I could, you know, we could talk about whether they were right or wrong, but that, I'm not even going there because it's not what it's about. The scripture story is about the religious leaders of the time trying to undermine Moses, or excuse me, undermine Jesus. What they're trying to do is use the Mosaic law to find a way to trip up Jesus so that Jesus will come out in opposition to the law and they can say, look at this guy. You call him the Messiah, you call him a leader. He's not, because he opposes the law of our people. So that's what it's all about. And what they do is they find this woman who has been caught in the act of adultery, and they bring her forward. She's not brought forward to decide whether she'll be punished or not. She's brought forward as an object for their use. I mean, she doesn't even get a name. There's no name here. And it isn't until the end of the story that anyone even speaks to her. She's this object that's used for their own reasons. Now, the story is kind of interesting because these men bring this woman forward, and Jesus bends down and writes on the ground. Now, there are all kinds of ideas on what he might have been drawing with his finger on the ground. Was it the names of the people who were going to cast stones? What was it? We're not really sure, and I really love that the gospel writer chooses not to tell us. Puts it in here because it's important, but chooses not to tell us. My first inclination, this is just a Sherry Parker theory, is that Jesus is refusing to engage with them at all, just refusing. And what he does is he says something very simple. He says, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, this has been used as a way for us to kind of check our moral self-righteousness all along, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, don't judge, yes, or you'll be judged. Those kinds of words from the Bible that kind of keep us in check, or more likely, we say them to other people to try and keep other people in check. But in this context, Jesus is offering something pretty remarkable to the leaders that are there. And he's offering them an opportunity to reflect on what they're doing and decide if they want to. Now, there are lots of reasons that we throw stones, that we use labels, that we use names. Sometimes it's out of fear. Sometimes it's misunderstanding and not trying to figure out what's really happening. Sometimes it's out of a position of power that we're able to put the power that we sense, we're able to put other people in categories and see that category is as not as as individual human beings that have been created by God. And so you take the category in your life, whether it's a faith tradition or an ethnicity or a socioeconomic status or an age or a gender, and you kind of just put that category out there. And we see that as an object rather than as individuals. And I think that it makes it easier for us to throw stones. Sometimes throwing stones is a way to belong to a group. Sometimes throwing stones is simply out of thoughtlessness, just not even thinking what we might be saying or doing that might be harming another person. I think it's interesting that it's the elders that leave first. And this gospel, the things that are in it are written for a reason. So we got to think about why that was. Now, for some people, you might say that the elders left first because they just had more sin piled up. But I don't think so, especially as I move into that elder stage. I mean, hey, I get the AARP stuff. And I think that it might be more around the elders were more willing to be self-reflective, more willing to look at their own lives and say, yeah, you're right. I can't do that. And so he gives them that opportunity. It's also interesting that Jesus addresses the woman. He's the first person to do it. The others have simply used her as an object. He addresses her with woman, which is the same title back in chapter 2 of John that he addresses his own mother. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? In addressing her, he treats the woman and her accusers, those who were trying to undermine him, he treats them all equally. And he gives everyone an opportunity to come to a new life, a life that is not full of death and condemnation, but a life that is full of acquittal and freedom, a life that's full of grace. You see, it's for the woman, of course. He talks to her and addresses her future, not her past, and gives her directions for the future, which will be a new beginning and hope for her. But he also gives a new beginning, an opportunity for a new beginning to those who brought the woman in by saying to them, do some reflection. Cast stones if you're without sin. And they have from that moment on, the same as the woman, the opportunity to start a new life. I think sometimes we find ourselves in both places. We may find ourselves in the place of the woman, that we have had stones aimed at us. We have had stones thrown. Actually, someone said before the service, pretty brave of you to give people stones. But anyway, we've had stones thrown at us, and we can think of those. I used to talk about sexism, And now I'm getting irritated by ageism. You know, you get a little gray in your hair, and suddenly you're honey and dear and sweetie. You know, I'm going to have to smack someone pretty soon. I think that we all have something that's aimed at us, depending on whatever category people want to put us in. Or it may even be some misunderstanding with a friend or a family member, and the stones fly. But I think also that each of us have picked up stones. It might be someplace where we don't even know people, but we put them in a category and we have stones to throw. Might even be individuals. Might not even throw them at them. We just kind of pelt their name as we talk about them in the lunchroom at work. But there's a place where we do that. And Jesus speaks to both of those. And the first thing is that as we come to understand that we're all sinners, in Romans 3, Paul talks about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sometimes we think that not only as Christians are we blessed, but we're better. You know, we got to kind of step up. And we start to think that sin is some kind of like norm-based test where there's an average, you know, that's been done, you know, tested out. And this is the average amount of sin. And then there's the really high scorers in sin. And then there are kind of the lower. And you just hope you're like really low on the test, you know? And so we figure in categories, we can put where we are. And there are going to be so many people ahead of us. And trust me, there will always be people ahead of us that we don't really have to worry. We can just, you know, kind of put our stones in that direction and we're safe. Jesus brings to attention that we're all there. He also offers to us this invitation to honest self-reflection. To think about where we have separated ourselves from other human beings, especially where we've separated ourselves through categorizing and name-calling, from throwing stones, from making assumptions, from not seeking to know more, and not seeking to figure out whether this is a situation that needs forgiveness and to work on that. And Jesus just brings this up for all of us. And I think that probably one of the most poignant and powerful things is that Jesus in this situation offers new beginnings. Certainly we see that with the woman and we celebrate that. That he talks about her future, he sets her free, he sends her off. I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, she's still got some life issues. But her spirit has been set free. And he offers that opportunity to those who would throw the stones. That you have a chance to just stop and think. Have you ever seen one of those movies where they portray this story? Maybe you've seen a Jesus movie, you know, and kind of get that picture in your mind. This is what the text says. It says, after Jesus says, invites them to throw the first stone, it says, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. There's one thing missing from this story that's often portrayed in the movies. Can you picture where Jesus offers the invitation and one at a time the people drop their rocks? Can you picture that? In the movies? Okay. I like to think that they might walk away and take the rock with them. It doesn't say they dropped them. It's just kind of part of one of those dramatic things that happens when that scene's portrayed. But what would happen if they took all the rocks and the woman was left standing there and there was not only no condemnation, but no instruments of condemnation. It's just, they were gone from her sight. And what would happen if those who threw the stones took them and held on to them as a reminder of what they were about to do? I have an invitation for you to join me in something. And it's a brave thing to do this for me because, you know, I have my flaws, trust me. But I'm wondering if each of us might think of a place where we do throw stones. It might be with a family member. might be a colleague that we're just tired of. It might be with an entire group of people, maybe that we've never even met someone from that group of people, but we throw stones. And that we might just make a commitment today to stop throwing stones at one in one direction, just one, toward a particular individual, toward a group of people, just one. I know that we hear these conversion stories and we see in the movies, you know, people who are changed in amazing ways by the grace of God, but we as Methodists know that it's a journey. And it's a little bit by little bit, as God's grace is open in our hearts and our minds. And I think one step at a time, we do change as people and make this truly a place where God's reign is real. And if we can hold on to the stone, hold on to it for one thing, think about that. A couple hundred people, that's a couple hundred less stones thrown in this world. That's amazing. That's amazing. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you know where our names fall when we call them. You know who we talk about, whether it's thoughtlessly or intentionally. We ask you to bring to us one area, one person, where we will hold on to this stone tight and we will not let it go. Make us mindful of your presence and your invitation to new beginnings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.